You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
When God spoke, he spoke to a specific people at a specific time in a specific place. I'm going to benefit you and me, but at a much later time, okay? He said that things to them in a way that they would understand. So now I have to do something more than just read it and believe it. Randy often uses the example of a tea bag. He says it's like putting a tea bag in the water. You have to allow the scripture to permeate this water and challenge us by the principles involved in it. I've got to squeeze out the story of God and Abraham, God with Moses, God with David. What specific things? Who's God in the story? What does he want from David and Moses? You see, it's the principle behind the cultural practice that we're after. What everlasting truth can I draw out of this story that's relevant and applicable to my life today? Okay? Now, here's an example to what we call the principle approach to Scripture. Leviticus chapter 1, which is a book that many Christians hardly ever read, but chapter 1 begins with three verses. Then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to them from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd of the flock. If this offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it a male offering without defect. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord." Okay? So, in verse 1, we see that God is calling out to Moses. And from this, I know that God often takes the initiative in his fellowship with us. It's an important principle for me when I'm feeling far from God. God calls out to Moses. Okay, God does initiate communication with his people. So at those moments when you're feeling far from God, God will speak. That's a great principle. In verse 2, God orders the people to bring an offering from their own herd or flock. And from this, I can conclude that God wants me to return to him some of those things that he's freely given me. Mm-hmm. We call them offerings. And this is a great principle of my relationship with God and an important principle of God's economics. In verse 3, God says to bring him an animal without defect. And from this, I can see that God wants me to bring my best. He's not going to be happy with a half-hearted response from me. If he asks me to give $100 to the missionaries, he won't be pleased if I just give 50. Okay, and let me give you one example when this first became very real to me. My friend Nick, who was part of our church in Maui, lived with a guy named Dan, and Dan was he was suffering from cancer. And Nick got the idea that we should paint Dan's bedroom and just brighten the house up. So I thought, great idea, I'll help. So we went down to the hardware store, and in those days, this was probably 1983. We looked at
the year of the Bible.
We looked at the paint, and there was the $7 a gallon paint, and there was the $11 a gallon paint. And Nick and I looked at each other, and for that us, that was a lot of money at that time. And Nick said, "Which one should we get?" And I said, "I don't know, Nick. What do you think?" And he said, "Well, the Lord wants us always to give our best." So we reached in and we dug out our $13 and we bought a couple cans of paint. So here we have in three obscure verses in a book, obscure book of the Bible, three principles that work for you and me today, 2026. In Vero Beach, Florida.
Three very important principles.
That God will initiate communication with us and speak to us. That God wants us to return an offering to him as an acknowledgement of the things he gives us. This is a very important principle of his economy. And whatever we do for the Lord, we should give him our best. Okay? So these are principles that we can pull out of these commandments. And so what I try to do, Rhett, is as I read, especially the Hebrew scriptures, I'm always looking at what's God really saying to me here? Like, for example, in Deuteronomy, God says, don't wear a garment made out of woolen cotton. Don't plow your field with two different animals. Don't plant two different seeds in that field. Now, those seem to be very arbitrary cultural practices. But what's the principle behind that? Because Paul told his disciple Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable to teach me, to correct me, to reprove me, and to train me in righteousness, that I might be adequate and equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16, great memory verse. So what is it in these verses in Deuteronomy that are going to teach me, correct me, train me? Well, the conversation in Deuteronomy starts off, I'm bringing you into the land of the Egyptians. Don't be like the Egyptians. Be like me. Be holy. Be kadosh. So don't mix their culture with my culture. Don't wear a shirt with two different fabrics in it. Don't mix it as a kind of an object lesson. Now, I don't know about your shirt, but I'm wearing a shirt today that is cotton and probably has a little polyester in it. I'm actually violating the letter of the law, but I'm really trying not to mix my current North American culture with God's culture today. So I'm trying to follow the principle behind the law. Are we tracking here?
Yeah, the principle behind the law is.
Well, that's what the challenge is. Whenever we open scripture.
But now they don't have to do that because we're not dealing with the Egyptians.
But we're dealing with North American culture right now.
Yeah.
That tells us all sorts of things that we could be doing. And imagine churches that have gone away from the Bible and are not holding on to the sanctity of marriage. And just marriage has become a very blurred concept involving same sex or both sex. We have little regard for our unborn children. And our culture tells us one thing, but the Bible tells us that all life is precious.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to have a contract with somebody, that's your business. But don't call it marriage, because marriage was created by God.
Yeah. So
the idea, right?
So I think there's three problems that we have when we look at the Bible. First of all, we have a false division. There's a separation we make between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We think that the Old Testament is old and out of date. And we're confused about meanings of what the New Covenant is. That verse for Old Testament comes from a passage, and it's in Hebrews chapter 8, where the writer of Hebrews is telling his Jewish friends that are followers of Jesus that you don't need to go to the temple anymore and offer sacrifices, because Jesus' sacrifice has done it once and for all. So this is really the main theme of the entire letter that's written. And in verse chapter 8, he says some things are this portion of the Hebrew laws are old and out of date because they've been completed in Christ. But people have taken that now and labeled the entire Hebrew scriptures as old and out of date, and yet the Bible is a complete unit. I mean, you really can't understand the work of Jesus until you read about the prophecies about him in Micah, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and even in Genesis. And you can't really understand Jesus unless you understand the Hebrew scriptures. And how can you understand the book of Hebrews and really understand it unless you know what's the content of the book of Leviticus is? These things go together like hand and glove. The other problem we have is we have a faulty interpretation. We try to fit the Bible into our old culture. We have a concept that some things that Jesus says are for the time and are out of date, and they don't really work in our culture, that we've progressed from those times. And we forget, we have a false application, I think is the third issue, because we forget the Bible was not written to us, but it was written for us. It's the principles that we're supposed to follow, and it's not just the cultural practices that are prescribed in the Bible. So when we come to the scriptures, it's like the questions for me are, well, what does God think about me? What does he think about my life? How does he feel about the people around me? And how can I best fulfill my reasons, his reasons for my existence? And so we're looking at the Bible for these answers. And, you know, Hebrews chapter 4 says the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Wow. So the Bible is God's method of instructing me, of training me, of keeping me on his track, of letting me know what he thinks about things. And most importantly, what we see the theme of the Bible is God's great love for us. His love for us. So it's okay to have a tattoo. You don't need to wear a head covering on your head to go to church if you're a lady. It's fine if you come in without one.
Yeah, people try to make up religions, you know. No makeup, you know, everybody has to wear a white shirt, you know. I know Gandhi was turned down at a Christian church in India. He wanted to go in, and they said, oh, no, you're not properly dressed to come in here.
Really?
And they turned him away, yeah. I interviewed his grandson. Yeah.
Wow.
He was turned down. Can you imagine that?
Well, that's been our focus, is to have outward displays of our righteousness, where actually it's God is really looking at our heart. He wants to know what's going on the inside. So... Since we're talking about these Old Testament laws, what do we do with them? How essential are these laws that God gave to Moses in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy to you and me, the New Testament Christian? Okay. What do you think? How important are they?
The laws?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're going to tell us stuff.
No, come on. You've been reading the Bible, Rhett.
Which laws are you referring to? I think the law of love is important. The first two is love the Lord, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, you can ask yourself, do you know all your neighbors? I know my neighbors. I say, hi, Mike. I don't even know his last name. Sometimes I can remember his wife's name. I'm going, God's saying, love your neighbor. Well, you know, I thought the other day, I was driving out of my neighborhood, I thought, a little gated community, I thought, maybe I need to just, you know, walk around and say, hey, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know.
Yeah. Okay, so you're zeroing in on...
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, that's, I think...
Second commandment, isn't it?
I think that's something. Leviticus 19:44. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Oh, that's Leviticus, way back there.
So that's an Old Testament law that you count to be a very significant in your life.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Sunrise, you gave new life forever. When you stepped outside, left death behind forever.